This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Aggressive Carlson coming after. That's William Carlson coming after John. It's a puck from the far side. They score! A puck shot in by Ovechkin. It looked like it kicked off Samsonov. And into the net, Alex Ovechkin appears to have the power play goal. With 14:01 to go here in the first, it's 1-0 Washington. Cross and the Capitals intercept and move. It's Ovechkin coming right side. He shoots and scores! Alex Ovechkin's second goal of the game. Drives in, fires from the right side. It's 4-2 Washington. As Vegas will attack, Cronus, they turn it over to him, ahead to Ovechkin. He's got the empty net, and he's got it! It's a hat trick for Alex Ovechkin into the empty net on a feed from Alexei Cronus. All the celebration, Cronus all smiles, and coming to Ovechkin, the smiles on the bench as well. The Capitals are going to take down the Golden Knights, and hats coming onto the ice for the Grade 8 here at T-Mobile Arena.
Big night for Alex Ovechkin in Vegas. There you heard it from John Walton, the voice of the Capitals on the Capitals Radio Network. Hat trick, 3 goals. He is tied for the league right now in goals with 13 at the age of 39. He's 29 now away from passing Gretzky. At his current pace, he'll do it in 38 games. That would be early February. Actually, if you want to know exactly the game, 38 games from now would be against the Utah Hockey Club. That's their name, I think, Denton. The pace he's on is likely not sustainable at all, but we've been saying that for a few weeks now, and he's up the pace, actually. He's on pace for 63 goals, which would be the second-best goal-scoring season of his career. Last night, 31st career hat trick, and it was multi-goal game number 176. That puts him 13 behind Gretzky for that mark. By the way, the Caps won the game over Vegas 5-2, and they are currently tied for the third-best point total in the Eastern Conference. Wow, what a story developing in the NHL. Alex Ovechkin is not only hunting down Gretzky, he's getting there much faster than anybody thought at the age of 39. What a season he has going on right now. Good morning. Denton is here with me. It is a Monday without a Skins game from yesterday to talk about, but plenty of leftovers from Thursday night's loss in Philadelphia, and plenty to sort of gauge from yesterday's action, including Washington's opponent a week ago yesterday, the Pittsburgh Steelers. We will get to all of that. It's nice to have a Sunday where, you know, you're just sitting back watching the rest of the league. I think that's always instructive as to where our team is. There were some very interesting games, some very interesting and incredible individual performances. But I actually think it starts with not one of the two marquee games of the day, which we will get to, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, and Kansas City. But personally, I think it starts with Detroit. You know, sometimes as NFL fans, we know this, there's just a team that seems during the course of a season to be that team. You know, the Lions beat a bad and injured Jacksonville team. I understand that. 52-6, though, was the score in an NFL game. They rested their starters for the entirety of the fourth quarter. If Dan Campbell, the head coach of the Lions, had wanted to, they may have scored 70. If this had been the Cowboys they were playing, they would have been running, you know, tackle reverses late in the game trying to run it up. They weren't even trying to run up the score. They had Hendon Hooker in the game in the fourth quarter. He was leading 96-yard drives. The Lions have won 8 in a row. They are 9-1 for the first time. Listen carefully to the last time Detroit was 9-1. 1934, 90 years ago. They set a franchise record yesterday with 645 yards of offense. This is the NFL. 645 yards. The Jags had 170. That's a 475-yard differential. It's the third largest yard differential in a game in league history, and the largest since 1979, 45 years ago. It's the second time they've scored 50 or more this year. They've also scored 40 or more in two different games. Their point differential on the season is 159 points. That's 53 better than the next best, which is Buffalo, but they've played, the Lions have, one less game than the Bills. They're doing this without their best defensive player, Aiden Hutchinson, who got hurt, I guess, a month and a half ago at this point. But still, the Lions appear to be the best team in the NFL that's having one of those magical, dream-dominant seasons. It's the NFL. Things change. I understand, and they change quickly. So we'll see how this goes, but mark down December 15th. Detroit hosts the Buffalo Bills at Ford Field in the latter half of a CBS doubleheader on Sunday, December 15th, which is lining up to be one of the games of the year. They've done it indoors, they've done it outdoors, but at this pace, they're not going to have to play outdoors. They'll end up being the one seed in the NFC. That's two games at Ford Field to get to their first ever Super Bowl. And then the Super Bowl is in the Superdome. Wow, the Lions. I can't remember. When I saw the yardage and I pulled it up at some point during the day as they were just rolling it up, because the score at halftime was 28-6 and it was 42-6 early in the third quarter. They had 38 first downs in the game. They averaged, you know, over 9 yards per play. It's really interesting what Detroit's doing. They're doing it, too, with a quarterback that I don't think anybody would say is elite. But, man, he's got elite playmakers. And they have, truly, at this point, the best offensive line in football. I guess in the NFC, when you look at it, Philly right now, from a record standpoint, would be the one team that could chase them down. You know, Detroit has, in addition to Buffalo, they have the Packers, they have the 49ers, they have another game against the Vikings, they have two against the Bears, and they play the Colts. You know, they certainly will be hefty favorites in those games, but we shall see. By the way, the Lions, Thanksgiving Day early, not necessarily a throwaway Thanksgiving Day game anymore. They're playing the Bears on Thanksgiving. They'll be a double-digit favorite more likely than not, or close to it, when we get there. But really, the Thanksgiving Day, Denton, I was looking at this earlier. You want to talk about a dog of a Thanksgiving Day tripleheader. Chicago at Detroit, you get to see the Lions play, which will be great. We've not been able to say that, you know, in a long time until recent years. And then how about the Giants and Cowboys? The Cowboys will have Cooper Rush. The Giants will have Tommy DeVito at quarterback. The breaking NFL news this morning is the Giants have benched Daniel Jones, and that will be forever, and I'll explain in a moment. And they're going to start, not Drew Locke, they're going to start Tommy DeVito. They are in full tank mode, and Daniel Jones has played his final snap as a New York Giant. The reason being, there is an injury guarantee of $24 million for next year. They're not putting him on the field again this year. So the Giants are done. The Cowboys are cooked. They play tonight, by the way. And then the last game on Thanksgiving Day actually is starting to look a little bit more interesting. Miami at Green Bay. That won't be a terrible nightcap to Thanksgiving Day. Let's get to a what do you got, Denton? So, I mentioned this. I may have mentioned this Friday. I thought I did. Could have been on whatever. Washington is a 10-point favorite over Dallas Sunday. All right, Washington's next game this coming Sunday, 1 o'clock, Northwest Stadium, Landover. Washington is a 10-point favorite over the Cowboys. I had to go way back to find, and I went through it meticulously, all right, to find when Washington was this big of a favorite over the Cowboys. Because the Cowboys have been, over the years, big favorites against Washington multiple times, being a double-digit favorite against Washington. In fact, some of the biggest games that Washington's had in recent years have been shockers, that Monday night Colt McCoy game in Dallas. The last time Washington was favored by anywhere near 10 over Dallas was 2007, the season finale. This is the Sean Taylor passing away, which fueled that late season run. Todd Collins at quarterback. They played the Cowboys in the season finale to clinch a playoff berth. The Cowboys had nothing to play for. They had already clinched the division, had clinched home field throughout. And Washington destroyed Dallas 27-6 as a 10-point favorite. The game didn't go off at 10, but as it climbed towards kickoff, it went off at 10. That's the last time. Other than that, Washington hasn't been bigger than a 3.5-point favorite over the Cowboys. They are 10-point favorites Sunday over Washington. This will be the biggest favorite Washington has been since 2017 when they played the 49ers in Kyle Shanahan's first season as a head coach. And Washington hosted the 49ers and they were 12.5-point favorites that day. 10-point favorites over the Cowboys. I'm calling it right now. They're going to bounce back off of these two losses with an impressive and sizable victory over Dallas on Sunday. You know, keep in mind, Dallas plays tonight, short week heading into the game. Washington coming in off the mini bye. So something to look forward to Sunday. Washington has two against the dreadful Cowboys, and they are dreadful at this point. And the first one is Sunday at home. And with that, let me turn to what has become all of a sudden a very, very competitive wild card race in the NFC. So right now, if the season ended, Washington would be the 7 seed. Now, they have played a game more than the two wild card teams in front of them, Minnesota and Green Bay. But right now, Washington would be the 7 seed. They would hold a, you know, 1.5-game lead, but over multiple teams, Seattle and the Rams. The Rams won yesterday. Seattle won yesterday. The NFC West is the 6-4 Cardinals and 3 5-5 teams. So you've got the Rams, Seahawks, and 49ers all sitting there a game and a half behind Washington, having played one less game. I do think 10 is still a lock to make the NFC playoffs. I don't think you're going to need 11. I do think it's becoming more likely than not in the NFC that the three wildcard teams all have at least 10 wins. There's a long way to go, and a lot of these teams play each other, especially in that NFC West, where the Rams, Seahawks, 49ers, and Cardinals are all bunched up. But Washington, more likely than not, has to get three of the final six. At 10-7, with, by the way, and it would be advantageous that they would have two losses against AFC teams. But they would be, I think, in good shape, solid shape at 10-7. They have the Cowboys twice. They have the Titans at home. The Titans are not terrible on defense, especially. But God, that Will Levis is not very good. They have the Saints on the road, whose season has seemed to come around a little bit. They've won two games in a row with their new coach. And they've got a game against, right now, the Falcons and the Eagles, obviously, at home on the 22nd. The Falcons on either the 28th or the 29th. The Falcons probably, right now, the worst defensive team in the NFL. So that might look a little bit less daunting by the time they get there. They have played two of the best defensive teams in the NFL in back-to-back weeks. They'll get a decent defense in Tennessee. They'll get an okay defense in New Orleans, and they'll get an excellent defense in Philly. But Atlanta might be the worst defensive team in the NFL right now. The Cowboys stink on defense, and you still, that'll be it. Three. They need three of the final six. I'm not discounting them from the division race at all. The Eagles have a difficult road before they come here on the 22nd. We talked about this on Friday. They have the Rams on Sunday Night Football on the road. Then they got to go to Baltimore to play the Ravens. Then they get the Panthers at home. And then they get the Steelers at home. Those are their four games before they come back to Washington. So I'm not just looking at wild card as the only possibility. I think Washington's very much still alive in the division race. I think Thursday night was a bit of a blow and a bit of at least a current reality check in terms of where these two teams are right now. But let's not forget, you know, again, not excuses, just legitimate facts. Washington came into that game off of a very difficult game against Pittsburgh. Philadelphia came into that game off an absolute cakewalk over the Cowboys, where they were resting their starters in the fourth quarter, and they were playing at home. Anyway, just something to keep in mind. The NFC, all of a sudden, because of that NFC West in particular, the NFC North, we knew the Vikings and the Packers were probably going to be right there vying for playoff spots. The Vikings' schedule is ridiculously easy, and has been up until this point. And the Packers are pretty good. So the Lions, Vikings, and Packers, you know, barring the absolute unforeseen, are probably going to be in the playoffs. So a wild card, you know, is going to, that third wild card is either going to come from the NFC East as the runner-up, or the NFC West runner-up. It's definitely not coming from the NFC South. I think Denton and I mentioned last week in our NFL buys, during NFL buy and sell, I think we both bought Tampa as a team that was not out of it in the NFC South. That's true. They are definitely not out of it, because Atlanta can't stop anybody. Bo Nix looked like the NFC offensive, the NFL offensive rookie of the year yesterday against Atlanta's defense. And so he's coming. He is coming. We got plenty of time. Jaden's still the front runner. I'll give you the odds on the offensive rookie of the year coming up here shortly. All right. I have a couple of leftovers from Thursday. Then we'll go around the NFL. We've got Ben on the show. We will be efforting to get a Caps guest on the show today to talk about Ovechkin last night in Vegas. Lots to get to on this Monday, the first Monday that did not follow a game, or I guess Cincinnati was a Monday in which we were previewing a game. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, Jaden is still a hefty favorite, for those of you wondering, for Offensive Rookie of the Year. I'm looking at a blended of multiple sports books, and he's basically average minus 650 favorite. Bo Nix is next at like plus 450. So he is still a sizable favorite. Look, there's a lot of season left, and Bo Nix has been the surprise, I think, of the entire group, no doubt. Bo Nix yesterday against an absolute pitiful defense, rolled up four touchdown passes in basically three quarters, going 28 of 33 for 307 yards. He was outstanding. I mean, let me just tell you, a couple of those touchdowns were line of scrimmage bubble screens where the receivers were barely even touched going into the end zone. But still, he has really played well. He's having an excellent rookie season. He's got an excellent offensive head coach. Plus, they've got some talent. And I'll just add, Denver is nasty on defense. They are excellent on defense. The Broncos, I think you and I talked about this last week. Are they for real or not? Their defense has been for real, and now they've got a confident quarterback with an excellent head coach designing it. But this guy, in his last four games, has thrown nine touchdowns with one pick. That's Bo Nix. Yesterday, and we'll go around the entire league, but I wanted to just start. Actually, I wanted to start with this. I wanted to start with this that I got from Samson. Samson wrote me this at the end of last week. Kev, we got again. We got. This was after the Philadelphia game, and he essentially is trying to tell us, you know, we bought in way too early. This team is average at best. JD5 is crashing back to earth, and Cliff's end-of-season meltdown has begun. They'll be lucky to sneak into the playoffs, but if they do, it'll be like Cliff's team in Arizona that fell apart and then got crushed by the Rams in the playoffs. I do remember that. That was one of the more hideous playoff performances by a team I've ever seen. They were not prepared for that playoff game. You know, it's always nice to see that everybody is level-headed after two losses to two pretty good teams. So we talked about this over the summer, that, you know, this narrative about Cliff's teams fading, you know, starting quickly and fading. And we're talking specifically about the teams that he was the head coach of. I'm not talking about the teams that he was a coordinator, you know, a quarterback coach or an offensive coordinator. The narrative stems from Cliff Kingsbury as a head coach at Texas Tech and with the Cardinals. And there is no doubt there is a consistent theme to his head coached seasons. They started fast and finished poorly. It's true. They did. But the reason for that consistent fast start, slow finish, the reasons for that are different. They're not consistent. There were at least three seasons as a head coach, including in Arizona, where the team fell apart defensively down the stretch, not offensively. So you've got to be careful when you buy into this. Cliff Kingsbury's offenses are great early, but then everybody figures them out and they get shut down and their team stinks because of it. It is true that as a head coach, his teams flamed out many, many times after a fast start. But in a couple of those situations, it was because they were getting outscored at Texas Tech 48-42. Their defense couldn't get off the field. And I think we care more about the offensive part of those seasons that went awry. Not defensively. He's not got anything to do with the defense. The team in Arizona that Sampson referred to, was a team that gave up 30-plus points in five of their six losses, including that playoff game against the Rams. So it wasn't always about Cliff's offenses, which is what he's in charge of here. You know, two things can be true, but you've got to be careful if you just describe this, oh my God, we're seeing it. We're seeing it happen. It's what's happened everywhere. Cliff's offenses, and they flame out. No. The teams he coached as a head coach didn't perform well after fast starts, but there are at least three examples, two at Texas Tech and one at Arizona, in which the defense was the part of the team largely responsible for the cratering. So just keep that in mind. So that brings me to yesterday and the Pittsburgh-Baltimore game, which was one of the two games of the day. The Steelers beat the Ravens 18-16. I'll tell you what, man, I love the games between the Ravens and the Steelers. What did I say to you Friday? Every single game is 16-13 or 19-16, right? And we went back and we looked at them. There were several 19-16s and 16-13s. The last two, I think, were 17-10. 18-16. You can just book the under pretty much consistently when these two teams play each other. It's the ultimate in being familiar with one another. Same coaching staffs forever. Same styles forever. Yeah, there are a couple of things here and there that change. Russell Wilson, Derrick Henry, although they didn't use Derrick Henry enough. Derrick Henry had 13 touches in the game. Yeah, I know he fumbled on his first touch. Derrick Henry had 13 touches in a game like that. That is, I think, a bad job by Todd Monken. I love watching these games, though, man. They are intense. This truly is the league's best rivalry. Kansas City-Buffalo for non-division opponents has become something special. Kind of, you know, what Indy and New England, when it was Brady and Manning, were. And now we got Mahomes and Allen. I think they're 4-4 now, head-to-head, with the Chiefs, you know, winning all three in the postseason. But, man, Baltimore-Pittsburgh is so much fun. And it is always, as my good friend Richard Walker would say, it's a manhood issue game. Always. Which is why I don't know why Derrick Henry only got 13 touches in that game. But, you know, Pittsburgh's last game last Sunday was the game in which, oh my God, we couldn't do anything. I mean, we're just not very good. The defense stepped up. The defense did step up against Pittsburgh for the most part. It really did. We spent a lot of time talking about it. Oh my God, Cliff's offense. Jaden's, you know, hurt. The whole thing. Well, guess who has scored more points against Pittsburgh than any team on their schedule this year? Washington. Guess who couldn't bust a grape, as Doc would say, against Pittsburgh's defense yesterday? Baltimore. Washington, much more. Even though it wasn't consistent. Understood. You know why? Because Pittsburgh's really good on defense. Philadelphia is really good on defense. Washington just had two of their, you know, a subpar performance offensively against Pittsburgh, and yet they scored 27 and lost by a point. Nobody else has come close to scoring 27 against Pittsburgh. They didn't get the ball ripped from them. Baltimore had three turnovers, but they were all Pittsburgh forced. Washington protected the fumble except for the Zacchaeus, you know, a muffed punt return. That was the only turnover they had in the game. Washington didn't beat themselves against Pittsburgh. Baltimore had an element of that with 12 penalties, but a lot of those are Pittsburgh and that defense forcing a lot of that stuff. You watched one of the nastiest defensive football teams in the league right now with a much better offense than they've had in recent years. They're a legitimate contender in the AFC. Pickens is good. Freiermuth is good. Najee Harris is good. Russell Wilson threw a bad pick and did not have a good game, and they won. Patrick Queen, Fitzpatrick, Hayward, Watt. They had the linebacker back that didn't play against us, Herbig. He played, he was the one that blew up the two-point conversion play. It's week to week, things change, the matchups are different, they create different results, I get all of that. But Washington did more against Pittsburgh's defense than Baltimore did, and Lamar Jackson did. Lamar Jackson had a bad game yesterday. It was forced by the Pittsburgh defense. We were, you know, I shouldn't say we, many were so alarmed by Jaden, you know, not throwing the ball well, not running at all against Pittsburgh. You know what Pittsburgh does? They don't allow your quarterback to run. They don't, they box him in. Lamar Jackson was 4 for 46, but really all of it came on one run. He had like a 29-yard run. He was 16 of 33. He was sub 50% completion percentage. Pittsburgh's good. You know, sometimes, as I said after that game, and I said on Friday after the Philadelphia game, sometimes you just can't explain it away with he's not 100%, the quarterback. Which may be true. It may be, but that means he wasn't anywhere near 100% against Chicago or the Giants, in which he played insanely well in both of those games. The last two were more about other things than the quarterback's health. Again, I agree with all of you that say he doesn't look like the same guy. You know, he looks not quick twitchy, although there are a couple of plays you can go back and find where he looks quick twitch. But give the proper credit to them having played in 4 days two of the better defenses in the NFL the way they're playing right now. And you saw it yesterday with what Pittsburgh did to Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. The Ravens scored 16 points. They had the ball taken away from them three times. And then, by the way, they couldn't get a stop when they needed a stop at the end to get the ball back. Thought it was really interesting the way they used Justin Fields yesterday. You know, he had a run in which he slid too early, and then he had the fourth down conversion. Justin Fields, if they use him that way, another element to what Pittsburgh's doing. Pittsburgh's not the same Steelers. This isn't 9-8. And out in the first round by double digits. They're better than they've been defensively in recent years, and they're much more capable offensively. I'm not counting Baltimore out of the AFC North. I'm not. They still have another game, the two of them do, in Baltimore. And Pittsburgh has the Eagles on the road. They've got the Chiefs later in the season. They still have to play the Bengals twice, and I know the Bengals are kind of out of it now after their loss last night, but they're certainly a capable team. I wouldn't say that Baltimore can't win the division. I think they still can. But Pittsburgh's a different team, and you know their results the last two games kind of prove it. They boxed in and they handled two really dynamic quarterbacks, and they bludgeoned Baltimore yesterday. What I'm serious about this, Denton. I'm curious if there was any John Harbaugh explaining why Derrick Henry wasn't in on the 2-point conversion. You got to put him in the game just so Pittsburgh is thinking that it could be Lamar, it could be Derrick Henry. Like, there are two run threats rather than one in the game. And then the play action's going to work better. They ran that quarterback sweep that they run. I hate that play, even with Lamar. You made a point, we were talking about this during the break. It's like the only quarterback you want to see running quarterback counter or quarterback sweep is Josh Allen because of his size. He's a true running back, like a fullback, really. I don't know how you play that game with Derrick Henry touching 13 times. By the way, his 13 touches averaged 5 yards per carry, and he only got 13 touches. That's the game that you have him there for. That game in which you are in an absolute, you know, death match in terms of physicality. That's the game you have him there for.
Yeah, I don't want to. When you know a game is going to be a rock fight, I would prefer not to see Lamar Jackson throw it 33 times. Just general rule of thumb in that particular rivalry, because you're right, that has taken what was the Cowboy Redskins rivalry. Then for like a couple of years, it felt like it was the Seahawks Niners, and now it's back to being Baltimore and Pittsburgh. That's the best rivalry in football. You know it's going to be if we outside of those two markets can joke, it's like tongue-in-cheek, but it is accurate how these games are always 19-16, 21-6. Like, they're never high-scoring. That has to be a game where you're giving the ball to Derrick Henry 30 times. Maybe not 30, but 25 times. You're doubling those carries.
You're giving it to him 22, 23 times in the game. No doubt. You have to, especially when he's averaging 5 yards per carry. And, you know, you have Lamar involved in the run game. That makes it even easier. That makes him so difficult. Lamar only had 4 rushes in the game, you know, and he had the one big one, and that was on a scramble. So you can't – Pittsburgh gets a lot of credit. Don't get me wrong. They have a nasty defense. But if Todd Monken, I think, you know, took the running game out of play in the AFC title game, and he took it too much out of play in a game that you certainly needed Derrick Henry to be a bigger factor in.
Hey, only 19 carries as a team?
Yeah.
I mean, that's very, very worrisome, because that was like the big thing
this year. What was the Kansas City championship game? Didn't he throw it nearly 40 times in that game?
Hey, let me pull up that box score now. It was atrocious. They just did not run the ball, it felt like, in the entire second half against Kansas City last year. He threw it 37 times. He was 20 of 37.
And what did they run it in that game?
And as a team, they ran, I mean, he had 8 carries, so at least he carried more than 4 times, but as a team, they ran it 16 times.
You got to be in Baltimore. Identical. You got to be killing Todd Monken today, don't you?
You have to be. It's nearly identical, and they lost. Terrible. Lamar, by the way, took a big hit in the MVP market. He's not the favorite anymore.
Oh, Josh Allen has to
be. Yeah, Josh Allen is the favorite. Not by a huge amount, but he is definitely the favorite right now at every book.
Is Lamar still second?
Yeah, Lamar is second, and then Jared Goff is third.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, what Goff is doing, God, we're going to have potentially a team that wins the Super Bowl this year, if Detroit does. Where I think all of us would say Jared Goff is one of those guys that's clearly a top half of the league starter, clearly, okay, but he's not a strap the back to the team quarterback. He's not elite. He might end up finishing second in the MVP race. Who knows? He might win it. There's still a lot of football left to be played. But I like Goff. It's the perfect system. Ben Johnson, the talent that they've put around him, and that offensive line is ridiculous. Do you agree with me? This just feels like, I don't want to say it feels like a 2007 Patriots, you know, team, or a 2013 Broncos with Peyton. It doesn't feel necessarily that dynamic and that crazy in terms of what they are offensively. Doesn't, you know, necessarily remind me of the greatest show on turf season. I think that's the highest scoring season. The Lions right now are averaging probably 33.5 points per game because it's 16-point differential. So I would say that this feels in the NFC like this is the team. Who's going to go there and win at Ford Field in the divisional round or the championship game? Who in the NFC can do that? Can Philly do it?
Philly would be the only team, as of right now, that I think could do that.
Could Marshawn Lattimore make the difference?
I mean, I don't think it's nuts to suggest that if you're having that conversation, it goes Philadelphia, maybe you throw Green Bay in there just because of the divisional aspect, and they would have at that point seen them twice already, so they would have some sort of idea of what they're doing and what they can do to be successful. And then you would throw Washington in there because when they're playing at their best, their offense is the best in the NFC. They just haven't done that
the
past
2 weeks.
It's not
better than Detroit's.
You don't think at its absolute best?
No.
I think it's the closest in the conversation.
Detroit has the much better offensive line, and they've got better skill position players everywhere. Everywhere. I would certainly take Jaden over Goff, but, I mean, Detroit's the best offensive team in the NFC.
I mean,
Washington, at its best, is still in the conversation for what comes next. I would still personally think it's got to be an experienced team that can shorten the game and run the football, and that's why I would say the 49ers, and I know they lost yesterday. Geno Smith is awesome in some of those spots. I'm just a big Geno Smith fan because he never lets bad plays affect the next play. He's got the right mentality for what he does. I'm just looking through something.
The 49ers are lost, by the way.
What'd you say?
They are completely lost, it seems, when they play offense. They have great talent, and they got Kyle.
That's
but, man,
why you have to, that's
watching
why you
them play is
can't
tough.
Can't count them out yet. They got 7 games left.
When is the cutoff?
The cutoff is never if they get in. If they get in and they qualify. If they got in, let's just say they got in as a 9-8 or 10-7 division winner in the NFC West, and they won the first round game against Washington. Let's just say it's a 4-5 or a 3-6 game. And then they had to go to Detroit for the divisional round. We would all be sitting there giving them a chance.
Well, I can tell you this. They have,
if they were healthy.
They have at least 2.5 losses left on their schedule.
2.5.
Yeah, 2.5. Because, I mean, the Green Bay thing, I'm not going to say Green Bay is a, without question, loss. That would feel unfair. I think they could get Green Bay because Jordan Love turns the ball over.
That's this week.
That's this week. But then they're at Buffalo.
Yeah.
And then they have a game at the end of the year with Detroit, which is going to mean something.
I think that's going to mean something. They play Miami, too, on the road.
Right, and they play Los Angeles.
And they finish at the Cardinals.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Playing right now, they're far from a lock to be in there. I'm just saying to you, if they were to get in, that would be, you know when the cutoff is when they're eliminated. Because if they get in with that experience, with that ability potentially to run the football, because I'm going to assume that if they get in, they did so. How did they run it yesterday against Seattle? I was really watching Buffalo, Kansas City.
Everybody was watching Buffalo, Kansas. I mean, God, that was a game.
McCaffrey had a decent game.
Yeah, he had 79 yards. Not bad.
19 carries.
This felt like more of a Purdy thing. They just couldn't move the ball. I mean, if you just look at the stats, you say, wow, his completion percentage was pretty good, but they just could not move the ball down the field.
They couldn't. I'm looking at... It must have been more than that. 9 penalties because they were 7-for-11 on third down. They had how do you lose this game? It's penalties. Did they miss any field goals?
They did not. They were a perfect one of one.
Because I'm telling you, there were missed field goals everywhere around the league again.
But yeah,
the league of the year of the kicker, I would bet in the last 3 weeks, it just seems like so many people are missing field goals. There have been more field goals blocked, it feels like, this season than in any recent season. Maybe what we're saying is that there isn't. That's, I guess, back to Detroit. Who are they actually going to lose to at home in a divisional round game or in an NFC title game?
No one. I mean, Philly would be the only one, and then I would think from a line perspective, Detroit is still going to be at home like a 5.5-point favorite at least over Philly.
Yeah.
They might finish legitimately outside. I mean, they got a tough going against Buffalo, but they might finish 16-1.
Yeah, that Buffalo game, that is a game on December 15th, the way it's shaping up. So the Rams, the greatest show on turf, highest scoring team in NFL. No, my fault. My fault. The greatest show on turf team was... Oh, that's down the list. The 1950 Rams. Take 1950 out. The highest scoring team post-merger 1970, you know, the last 54 years of football, the 2013 Broncos with Peyton. They averaged 37.9 points per game. The Patriots in 2007, the undefeated regular season Patriots, averaged 36.8 points per game. And then the Chiefs in 2018, 35.3. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, 35 in 2011. The Patriots, 34.8 in 2012. The Vikings with Randall in 98, 34.8. The Lions right now, 13th. The Redskins in 1983 are the 12th highest scoring team of all time. In terms of the post-merger, there are teams in here from the 40s and the 60s and in the 1950. But man, Detroit doesn't seem like if they only get stopped if they've got, you know, their subs in. And that didn't even happen yesterday. 645 yards in an NFL game. That's sick. All right. We're not going to do Denton news here. We'll save that for a little bit. But I had, before we go completely around the NFL, there was another game and another performance I just wanted to spend about 5 minutes on. We'll do that next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Massive night for the Capitals last night. They beat the Vegas Golden Knights 5-2 to improve to 12-4-1 on the year. Alex Ovechkin was on fire. A hat trick, scoring goals 864, 865, and 866. He's now 29 away from breaking the record. He's also fifth all-time on the list of hat tricks, and he did it at age 39. He's also tied for first in the NHL in goals with 13 at the age of 39. Less great day for the Wizards. They fall to the Pistons 124-104, and now Kyle Kuzma is beefing with the Pistons' Twitter account on social media. In the NFL, the Chiefs' quest for an unbeaten season came to an end Sunday with a 29-22 loss to the Bills. Josh Allen had a 26-yard rushing touchdown to seal the victory for Buffalo. The Ravens' struggles continued against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh won that game without finding the end zone, 18-16. And breaking news this morning, the New York Giants will start Tommy DeVito this upcoming week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, benching Daniel Jones in favoring DeVito for what was the backup, Drew Lock, which means the current Thanksgiving matchup in just a few weeks between the Giants and Cowboys is projected to be Tommy DeVito versus Cooper Rush. Go spend some time with your family. And that's what's trending.
I think one of the most underrated and truly valuable players in the NFL when he is healthy is Taysom Hill. This is a guy who is now, believe it or not, 34 years old. He's in his eighth year playing football in New Orleans. Seventh season playing football in New Orleans. Yesterday, he had a 3-touchdown performance in the Saints' 35-14 win over the Browns. By the way, that score was tied 14-14 heading into the fourth quarter. He actually threw an interception in the game and fumbled in the game as well. But he had 7 carries for a career-high 138 yards rushing, including a 75-yard touchdown run. He also had 8 catches for 50 yards. So he combined in the game for 15 touches for 188 yards, but that doesn't count what he did on kickoff returns. He had a 42-yard kickoff return as well. This guy's never been able to really stay healthy consistently during the course of his career. Certainly this year, he's missed a bunch of games, I think in two of the last 3 years, something like that. But man, and you talk about a weapon, and there's something about his style of running. He's 6'2". I looked this up yesterday after I just saw him running over somebody for like the third time. He's only 6'2", 225, but he's so strong. And he just has no, like, when you see Taysom Hill in the backfield and you see the quarterback go out wide, Derek, you know, Carr, and he's in the Wildcat, and it's third and one or fourth and one. Like, to me, it's almost the same as the tush push. Like, you can't stop this dude. He is such a valuable player for a team that, you know, I don't think is terrible with Derek Carr in there. I mean, I'm not a big Derek Carr fan necessarily. But they've got some players, and the new coach who replaced Dennis Allen is now 2-0. This dude, by the way, has 33 career touchdowns rushing, and he also has another 11 passing. He's got 44 touchdowns in 104 games played, 48 started, 44 and 104. That's a touchdown just barely less than 50% of the time. He's averaged 5.7 yards rushing for his career. He's just really good always. Big Taysom Hill fan. And man, you can find guys like that that can play all of those different positions. Then you put him back on a kickoff return and he busts it 42 yards. Ridiculous. All right, we'll go around the NFL and go a game at a time, because in that game, a former Washington kicker did not have a very good outing. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.